Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Okay, it's actually just so funny because what I love about Shopify is no matter how huge and massive you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control. Yes, daddy. And take your business to the next level, because we're business women. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub. That's shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase. shopify.com/bookclub.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Celebrity Book Club. Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood.
It's books.
It's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs.
It's martinis.
It's Studio 54.
It's
Celebrity Book Club.
Come read it while it's hot.
Celebrity Book Club.
Tell your secrets, we won't talk.
Celebrity Book Club.
No boys are allowed.
Celebrity Book Club.
Say it loud and proud.
Celebrity Book Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hey, best friend!
Oh my god, Lily!
Stephen Phillips Horst.
Lily fucking Rod, I'm so excited to see you. I feel like it's been months since we last recorded.
It always feels this way where it's like, we did this last week and I'm just like, but have I seen you?
So much has happened just in terms of the world.
And oh my god, yes.
Sort of mask mandates coming down. I'm going to the gym now sans mask and it's so liberating.
Wait, really?
It was so fab. And can I say this? Sorry not to brag, but literally my first day at the gym without a mask, I got recognized.
Stop.
Yes.
By who? Just like a gay guy?
I mean, yes, he was a gay guy, but...
He was a fan,
and he was like, he came up to me, he was just like, are you Steven? And I was like, he was like, well, first of all, he said this weird thing. He was like, I used to follow you online. And I was like, you used to?
No, people do that. Like, I had girl come up to me at the Honey's Holiday Fair, not to name drop an amazing local business. And she was like, oh my God, you're so funny. Someone once showed me your Instagram, and then I never followed you.
She told you she didn't follow you.
Yeah, but that it was funny when someone showed it to me. Cool.
He said that he was this big fan and he would show his friends all my videos with this whole story. I think maybe he was implying that he had wasn't on social media anymore or something.
Totally.
I feel like
anyway,
it's
this
that.
Is no pity party here.
No, I was super
follow
excited.
Follow us or don't. Whatever.
No,
cool.
Literally, I don't
Live
care.
Live your life. Unplug. Go to an ashram.
So anyway, it's been a crazy week, is I think what we're trying to say. But we should probably...
Anyway, I'm so happy for you.
Yes, thank you. And I'm happy that you got to hear that story. And I just think one of the reasons this week has been crazy is because we read a really psychotically...
amazing, epic sauce, cuckoo book.
That is a saga of New York City. And I think really speaks to
Northern
our lives and our
California,
experience.
Syracuse.
Yeah. I mean, places that we all have real connections to.
Also, it's an Italian-American book, and I am a proud, proud Italian-American.
Yes, everyone knows that you are extremely proud.
But we should introduce our guest.
Yes. So we decided to bring on someone for this very special episode who also intersects with a lot of these worlds that we're talking about. Fashion, PR, downtown New York City, etc.
Ingenue actress,
the 2000s, the 2010s, the 2020s.
Vintage clothing. Getting beaten
112
down.
112 pounds.
Sorry. Applause for that.
Okay. Yeah. She's coming out from behind the curtain, even though she's not supposed to yet, because we haven't opened it.
And her name is...
Ladies and gentlemen... None other.
Then,
you know her from
the podcast
Red Scare. You know her from, soon you will know her from the HBO show Succession.
Which Steve and I famously fought about. And now you have to eat your shit.
Well,
because
I'm still not going to admit that I watch it.
You don't watch it.
I literally don't watch it. And
I watch it.
And
anyway.
Now she can add director, filmmaker, writer to her resume. She has a very good urban horror flick called The Scary of 61st. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking, of course, about Dasha Neskarova. Wait, I said that completely wrong.
Necrosova.
No, sorry.
It's okay.
That's how I went silent because I was like, I knew you told it to me, but it just left my brain.
You think it's too foreign?
Necrosova.
Do you think it's because I deliberated changing it when I was entering the entertainment industry?
At Ellis Island when you entered the entertainment
Wait,
industry?
Wait, so you were going to be so, like, old Hollywood and, like, you know, like, Cary Grant is actually, like, Cary, whatever, just, like, Shapiro.
Cary Shapiro.
No, you will not change yourself.
Well, what were you going to change it to?
Well, my parents also, like, softly disowned me in my mid-20s because I was such a loser, kind of late bloomer. And they were really disappointed in me, and I kind of wanted to change my name and spite them. And I was going to change it to Dasha Bogdanovich. And then when people would ask me if, like, Peter Bogdanovich was my dad or related to me, I would just say, I don't want to talk about my family.
Sorry, who is Peter Bogdanovich?
Who? I'm thinking of Rob Blagojevich.
Is he equally, like, mired in scandal, this person?
No, he's a filmmaker.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so it was a little more like, fuck you, mom and dad. Like, I'm actually, like, this, like,
I'm the wayward child of, like, Jim Jarmusch or whatever. Is it that category?
Okay, Stephen.
It's, like, 70s. He's known for his work in the 70s with, like, Sybil Shepherd and stuff. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
I'm guessing he hasn't directed Cameron Diaz.
Not as far as I know.
I don't know who he is.
I became a Sybil head from The L Word, and then I started watching this year her sitcom, Sybil.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
It's about her being an actress. You might relate.
I should really watch.
And it's like all of her ex-husbands are, like, coming in and out, which is very...
That's so fun.
The author of our book.
The book that we read this week that our guest has also read
three times
is by Kelly Catrone, PR maven, fashion publicist,
rock star,
reality
yogi.
TV. You know her from the show Cal on Earth, which was 8 episodes.
Mama Wolf.
She was also on The City for
Also
multiple
and
seasons.
The Hills.
And her book is called If You Have to Cry, Go Outside and Other Things Your Mother Never Told You.
Which is basically the same title formation as the Barbara Corcoran book we read and Judge Judy's book, which we haven't done, which is If You're Pissing on My Leg, Don't Tell Me It's Raining.
I like the way that you sort of rephrase that. It's Don't Piss on My Leg and Tell Me It's Raining.
Wait, what did I say?
You kind of made it present tense. Like,
it lives present in my mind.
I feel like you did the thing that, like, people are always accusing the New York Times of doing, like, to, like,
changing to present tense.
Changing to present tense to make Israel, like, not culpable for its crimes or whatever. And
when people start canceling people for grammar online, I'm like, tapping out.
You're like, sorry, sis, I'm not a grammarian.
Yeah. So, Dasha, will you tell us how many times you've read this book?
3 times, which is not, I mean, it's a pretty short book. And the first time I read it was years ago. And then I was rereading it because I play a publicist on Succession, which Stephen doesn't watch, but you do.
And iconic, by the way.
Thank you. But I was, you know, I was trying to do some, like, character work, kind of, like, 4 months.
You're saying the show's iconic or it's iconic that she's on the show? Because she didn't make the show.
No, iconic that she's on the show.
Okay, true.
But also my commitment to inhabiting the life of a publicist.
Yes.
So I was rereading it, and then I had been listening to your podcast, big fan. And so I texted Stephen and suggested that you talk about it. And then he invited me on.
He said, get on, bitch.
I said, let's fucking do this thing.
And so then I read it again like last night this morning, you know, to
people
prep.
Say, like, I heard someone say once, like, you know, people make fun of people for rereading books, but they don't make fun of people for listening to the same song over and over again.
Hell yeah, dude.
Fuck yeah.
And I always kind of thought that was a little insane. But...
I love that, you know.
Well, because a song's 3 minutes long.
Exactly.
And a book is mad long.
And a book is an insane commitment. And the second I open it, I'm like, oh.
Life is finite. And
I'm obsessed that this is the book that's your rereading book, because I feel like most people are always like, oh, it's some old man in the sea or whatever. And I read that every
most, like,
year.
Middle school English class book.
you know, just like a random man.
A classic. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm going to read this book every year.
I would say it's a classic. Well, I think what's interesting, you were saying like you use it at different times in your life. One was when you wanted to like figure out what you were going to do with yourself.
It was recommended to me and I actually had it in hardcover.
Oh.
And I took the book jacket off, so it had like a black hardbound with like gold, like if you have to cry, go outside.
Oh, where it's like, what's the word? Embossed, reverse embossed, whatever.
Yeah, and I was just kind of at like a transitional period in my life. I had graduated college like 4 years ago, so I didn't really know what I was doing.
And it makes sense. So she's a very, you know, she has an unorthodox road to stardom and success.
Oh, hell
which
yeah.
She talks about every paragraph in this book.
Yeah.
And her whole thing is being like, yeah, sorry, I did everything backwards. Launched my own company, then had a controversial art opening, then became addicted to drugs, then had a baby, then got married. Yeah, sorry, sue me.
I was like, I'm so obsessed with her because like every line, she's just like, yeah, sorry, I was living in the Lower East Side and I had to take tequila shots to even walk home because I lived amongst punk rockers, artists, junkies.
So she moves to the East Village.
Her tribe.
So she's like, yeah. Tribal council.
Sorry. Wait. So she says this concept. She's like, you need to have a tribal council of elders, of like people who are your mentors, who tell you what to do at all, who you can
rely on them.
In like in hard times.
Your chosen
give them
family.
A call, your
chosen.
Yes. So there's the tribal council, and then there's the...
Well, there's the wolf pack, which is all the like girls who live in her live workspace.
Her big Soho loft, where she's like, I still can't believe the elevator opens up into my live workspace.
But then you watch the show Calendar Earth, and it's the most chaotically, like, she's so the opposite of Bethany. Bethany is like a psycho, and her business doesn't do anything, and like her office is empty and just has like four couches and like one guy. And like the Kel on Earth office is like, there's so much shit everywhere. It's like, there's so many. It's like almost like a joke about a newspaper office from the 70s. And just like every corner is crammed with papers and stickers and just like straight girls crying. And you're like, oh my God. Like it's very stressful to watch.
Yeah. Bags and bags and bags and bags of stuff that the interns have to reorganize constantly.
The interns are really like a lot more, they're more, what's the word? Like...
Well, I think wasn't the show on kind of in like the height of intern life? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there was like an intern's revolt that was like, I'm sorry, I will not intern 9 hours a day. Like, that is...
Okay. Internships go. What were yours?
I worked at a contemporary art magazine called Extra in when I moved to Los Angeles.
You were an intern for an LA art magazine. Yeah.
Wow. Called Extra.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had to climb up ladders to get like old back issues and stuff. And sometimes I would fantasize about like falling and getting hurt really bad.
And getting workman's comp, getting workperson's comp.
It was unpaid. I mean,
wow.
How many hours? Yeah, were you clocking in at Extra a day?
Like, twenty a week.
Okay,
I think. Like,
was this for college credit?
No, this was post college. This was me trying to
post college. You took an unpaid internship.
I mean, I was so lost. That's why I read Kelly Catron's book. I didn't know what to do.
I was offered an unpaid internship at Huffington Post after college, and I turned it down because I said, I'm supposed to get a job. Someone said, like, get a job after college.
Well, both these
I can't not make
things
money.
Are very Kelly Catron, because you getting a job is very her Italian-American Syracuse parents being like, you go to nurse school and you make money. Like, we're not going to support you. But then she's also is always like, I'm a mama wolf, and, like, you need to find out what you want to do before you're 35. And, like,
right.
Whether that's visiting a temple or conversing with LGBTQ people.
wait, the part where I'm just, you remember the line? I forget it now. When she was just like, she's talking about the kind of like interns whose applications she accepts or like will be willing to read.
How to Write an E-Bill, which Barbara Corcoran also does in her book.
They're very like women of a certain era who say that they're such like ball busters and so like anti-conformist, but actually want a very specific thing out of their young, thin female applicants.
Yes.
And she's like, I don't care if you went to Harvard or Radcliffe or Poughkeepsie or whatever. Like, if you send me an email saying that you raised $735 because you were inspired by one of my YouTube fashion shows and you raised that money for a women's battered shelter, then I will open that email and hire you. And it's like, wait, what?
Well, I was watching a clip of her on just like Chelsea Lately or The Hills or one of the things. And she was like, I don't read resumes, which also feels very Bethany, she boss, just so kind of like, what are you bringing to me, you know?
But then very also like Bethany, she'd be like, but sometimes I will read a resume and I will call you right. back on the phone and I will like ream out a girl in front of everyone else and like write
giving
her a personal
letter.
Giving good
phone is a big part of the Kelly Cotroni show.
She's obsessed with, I mean, what's funny, so this book was written in 2010.
Yeah.
Big 2010 vibes. Across the board,
which I want to get into in a bigger way,
okay. For sure,
in terms of style and restaurants and fashion brands that she works with.
Yeah,
but she bemoans the loss of voice communication, and she's like, I hate looking at this office of all these PR girls, and everyone's click clacking away on their laptop, sending emails. No one's picking up the phone.
She also references, which is very 2010, she's like, and oh, everyone is just on their BlackBerry. It's such a BlackBerry book.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when I started working in politics, I had a BlackBerry. And I started working in politics in 2009, which was actually after I turned down the Huffington Post internship.
Good for you.
Thank you. Well, because I had applied to be the, like, business editor. Like, I, like, went to the office to have this interview, and they were like, wait, sorry, you're 22?
You're not the business
You're not center. The business editor. You don't know anything about business. You just went to NYU and, like, majored in nothing. Like, you can't be the business editor.
But then Kelly Cotrone, at 23, was head of PR for Spin magazine. So it's also, like...
Head of PR for Spin?
For a magazine.
For a mag. It's like a magazine's already a magazine. So you're just trying to get articles about Spin written in what?
Vanity I guess
Fair? I feel like you're more interfacing with other publicists, maybe, who want things
written in Spin. Yeah.
Written in Spin.
Yeah, it's more like, yes. Like,
no, but if you're PR for Spin, you're trying to get good press for Spin.
Fiona Apple's people are reaching out to her, and then like they're all meeting at like some weird lounge.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It was also a time, though, when there were just more jobs, when you could just be, when you could just be
hell
like,
yes.
when she's like, I was watching Kel on Earth and she was like, this is my friend. He's done the Q&A in the back of Vanity Fair for 25 years. When doing the Q&A in Vanity Fair was a job that you got paid for regularly. And like, that was it.
Well,
and,
yeah, like,
that
was
in this clickbait economy.
And this clickbait economy, I'm sorry, but that's a fucking freelancer. I was getting paid $100.
No, it's very when people on Twitter, like, calculate how much Carrie would make now. They're like, sorry, if Carrie is making, like, $2 per word, like, how does she afford her apartment?
Well, I mean, maybe as a Carrie, a.k.a. someone who literally has a column and wears expensive clothes, I will say that I have a secret copywriting job. So maybe Carrie was literally being a copywriter the whole time when they never showed it.
Would it be gauche? I know we're kind of past the subject, but I didn't get to say what my internship was.
Oh, please.
Oh, wait. No,
please.
We're still on the subject.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're still in this tangent.
I interned for the Jerry Springer Show. It's kind of my claim to fame in life. So
that's very cool.
Yeah. And it was very, like, 12 hours a day, like, so
paid?
Many. Unpaid. It was like, oh, this is supposed to be 20 hours a week, but they didn't like allow me to leave till like the day was done.
Right.
And they filmed three shows a day.
Three shows a day.
So sometimes I
what
would
year
like,
was that?
Oh, 08.
Wow. I feel like the Jerry Springer Show, if we had it, if it was on TV now, we wouldn't have such a like contentious discourse and culture because we would all be blowing off steam watching stuff
The Springer Show.
Exactly.
Well,
that seemed like a much more healthy and vibrant way of like processing
But the thing about the Stringer show, though, was, I mean, you
the,
were
the
such
Scott
a,
Stringer show.
The Scott Stringer show, another one, who's my former boss. Wait, that's so funny. I work for Scott Stringer. You work for Jerry Springer.
Wow. No, I mean, it's
spirit
spooky,
is present.
Spirit.
Mm-hmm. So, but you, like, what you saw was a very exploitative economy. You were finding these toothless people from Kentucky who were so sad and, like, obese and, like, fucking their sister or whatever. And then
my job was to, like, take them out.
They would get flown to Chicago. It was the first time they'd ever been on a plane, first time they'd ever seen a city. And Lily would take them to, like, Outback Steakhouse. And they would be like,
show them Chicago as like the
God
and they
damn,
all,
like this water is so cold.
No, like this woman. So I would like, I was taking this woman who had like very like one sprig of hair for like a makeover in Chicago. And it was like a revolving door. And she was being very just like, oh, I've never seen one of those. And just like I had to like emotionally guide her through the revolving mall door.
That wow. is so
yeah,
insane.
Because she was being very just like, that's a witch door. Why is it moving on its own? But then I was also like, and we'll move on, but it was very like seeing everywhere was like, I then, you know, you have to take everyone out. And it was like, I was taking out this guy who was like accused of shaking his baby so much that it gave the baby autism. Huh. And we went to go see Resident
Listen,
Evil
everyone
together.
Everyone with an autistic kid has a different theory how it got
yeah,
there.
So,
you
no,
know what I mean?
Know. And I was like,
I could talk about Jerry Springer for.
Yeah, we could go on about that. So,
and you know, of course, I interned for CNN famously before Anderson Cooper was out. And we would make eye contact on the newsroom floor when we were both gay. And we did the eye contact that gays do when it's like, he knows that I know that he is gay.
You knew he was gay.
Well, yeah, but it was rumored that he was gay at the time, but he wasn't out. We would both be gay walking at like the fastest pace. Just like literally almost like running like that Olympic sport, like speed walking or whatever. Like that's what we were both doing.
Is that a sport?
It's literally a sport because it's like
the gay
like
Olympics
or something.
Yeah. It's like your foot can't touch the ground or whatever at the same time. There's some weird rule about it. But like we would literally be just like making eye contact and like with our eyes alone, I would be like, I know you're
ice coffee's
like,
rattling around.
No, clanging, ice clanging away. Like, like as I'm walking by, papers are flying off people's desks because I'm like, have like such an airspeed behind me. Just like this whole wind tunnel. And then like in our eyes alone, it would be him being like, I know that you know that I'm gay and you can't say anything. And there was like four other silver foxes on his staff that were all his like top deputies.
Oof.
Also, psychos.
Also, are we in his area right now?
Hell's Kitchen.
We're in, like, middle-aged.
Yeah, we're in Silver Fox country.
Yeah, Silver Fox. Was there ever a moment in the bathroom?
No.
Okay, it was just eyes locked.
I'm sure he used a different bathroom.
Yeah.
He wasn't using the, like, public-facing intern-used bathroom.
Okay.
Speaking of Anderson Cooper in the news, can we talk about how Kelly Cutrone talks about how brave she was for putting on the Rachel Comey show on the one-year anniversary of
9/11. That was
yeah. She killed Fashion Week that year.
No, she
everyone else was too scared.
Everyone was so nervous to put on a fashion show in the tents at Bryant Park, and she was like, "I'm sorry, New York has to come back to life.
Yeah.
We're doing Rachel
Comey. We need
Comey.
To give people beauty.
Hell yes.
What we need after 9/11."
Is Rachel fucking Comey. Oh, wait, also, because she loves councils, and I feel like she's like, and a bunch of us fashion insiders had a meeting right after 9/11 to discuss the Fashion Week.
I have the
passage
right
here. Because it happened during Fashion
Week.
She goes, we wondered, where's the rule book for this? Are we allowed to do something so frivolous and shallow as a fashion show on the first anniversary of such a tragedy? With so many people to be honored and so many families' feelings to be respected. But then she goes, I thought Fashion Week was a great way to bring beauty back into the world. So while my competitors backed off the fashion show time slots at the Bryant Park tents on September 11th, 2002, I made a deal with IMG, the company that produces Fashion Week, to take all three tents for my clients and produce an arduous load of six shows on the same day, among them as for Jeremy Scott, Alexandra Hershovitz, and Rachel Comey.
That day being 9/11.
9/11.
That should be 9/11.
And it's just like
2002.
2002, Jeremy Scott. It's like long black t-shirts, big boots, stomping down. And she's like, this is what this fucking city is about.
Hell yes.
We won't cower.
Beauty. I mean, the beauty of Rachel Comey. I didn't realize that Rachel Comey was around in 2001.
I walked Rachel Comey also.
You, we have,
okay. We are a Rachel Comey model here. Excuse me.
Forgot to put runway model in your bio. Pardon me.
Sorry, but yeah, so.
Wow.
Did,
wow. Not that, to one up you, but I've cleaned the Rachel Comey store. So. Pick your fighter.
Oh, wait. And I weirdly played like Glockenspiel at a weird art opening there. So,
so club kids, write us what your connection
to,
is.
To the Comey store is.
Celebrity Book Club.
This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc.
You're trying to find a cause for your symptoms.
Achy back, headache, runny nose, itchy eye, wart on my genitals.
So let me guess, you stumble down a TikTok rabbit hole full of questionable advice from so-called experts.
Suddenly I have cancer? No thank you.
There are better ways to get the answers you want and the care you deserve from trusted professionals and not random people on the internet. Though randoms, I love you, and my TikTok addiction, yeah, it stands.
But I'm sorry, Lily, you shouldn't be getting medical advice from some girl in her grandmother's basement in Toronto.
ZocDoc helps you find expert doctors and medical professionals that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want.
That's right. Ditch the talk, get the doc. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet.
I love a trusted guide, like the time I climbed to Machu Picchu on the Inca Trail with a team of Sherpas. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient-reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So find your Sherpa at ZocDoc.com. Go to ZocDoc.com/bookclub and download the ZocDoc app for free.
Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Slay. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZOCDOC.com/bookclub. ZocDoc.com/bookclub.
Ditch the talk.
So much of this book, the show Cal on Earth, the city, the other reality show that she was on.
Your internship.
Your internship, my internship at CNN, yeah. My internships, your internship Springer, took place in the late 2000s, early 2010s, sort of the Purple Magazine heyday, end of the American Apparel era. Like, this was a cheesy, cheesy time when, like, I mean, I lost my virginity after going to the Misshapes party. Like, this was the time of headbands. And
this was the time of me going into an American Apparel where my friends worked at American Apparel saying, no one's looking.
And walking
stuffing.
Out. Right.
Stuffing
talk
the
talk about
back,
getting
back.
Stuffed. Yeah. No. You're walking out with like two fucking cargo bags.
For one Christmas, I gave my sister and mom, talk about moms getting stuffed. I was giving her American Apparel that Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That helped her out.
Those thigh highs with the three stripes.
Deep V's to my dad.
But when she starts her new PR company on her, like, second career poster meth in L.A., moving
People's
back to New
Revolution.
York, People's Revolution.
That name.
Which is so, like, red, the charity, like, in parentheses red, which,
so
by the way,
red.
My phone is a red phone, which still exists.
By the way,
Well, she says, I named my company People's Revolution not because I'm a communist. A popular misconception.
Yeah, everyone thinks she's a communist.
But because I happen to believe that the world will change only when we change ourselves. And that starts with finding ourselves. And that starts with listening to ourselves.
What? The idea that... No, the world only changes when you do PR for Steve Madden. It's like, what? It's so crazy. Because the companies that she represents are all these super... They're all these, like, mid-market level brands. Like,
she's not a communist.
She's
not a communist. She's a publicist for Jeremy Scott, and she is changing the world.
Sassen Bide. It's like anything that would be carried at Intermix. I feel like that's very the brand. The episode I watched, it was like DEF CON 5. There were so many fires to put out because the genetic denim show
was going up, and they had a tree made out of denim.
Oh, my God.
And it was just, like, in this random room, and it's like, what is this brand? It's the most, like, 2009 to 2014 brand of, like, kind of loose denim that's actually founded, like, by a straight guy. Like, this was also such,
that's
a, like,
yes. Diesel jeans.
It was Diesel
Aftermath.
Like, it was Diesel jeans Aftermath. They weren't even that whiskered, though. They were just kind of, like, tight and, like, loose and, like, and they would kind of be influencer-y today. You know, long torsos were very in at that time.
Yeah.
Like, torsos have never been longer than 2010, when, like, Nikki Hilton would wear, like, a wife beater that was just, like,
well, yeah, dude, because if, like, the hottest thing you could do was show that bit of skin. Did you ever do that? Where it's, like, the tank, it's hard to kind of, to our listeners.
No, but even,
that,
like,
that strip, that's, like, right here.
Yeah.
You have the tank top
the
laying.
The midriff? Is that your
No, because it's not, like, full
oh, it's
belly.
Below midriff.
You're showing just a little above crotch and a right. little below belly button.
I'd also just like to point out that I did wear all black.
Wait, like Kelly Catron?
Yeah, I
oh, my God, you're
sorry, you're currently wearing all black.
Yeah,
I feel like an idiot that I'm not in all black. Occur right now.
Didn't even occur to me.
I was like, what am I going to wear to the podcast? I was like, I'll wear all black.
Of course, because it's an event.
Of course.
And she makes all her girls wear all black at an event.
And she only wears black, always.
Which she says is because she doesn't look good in color.
Mm-hmm. But there that can't be true.
Well, she is also
gorgeous
such
Italian
a
Italian
like,
woman like
oh,
her.
A beautiful Italian woman. The end also, when it gets so just like, it, the cannoli, all of a sudden it's just like, and the cannolis and the pepperonis and the cold cuts were flowing through. Like, it gets like so just like full Mob Wives where she's like, my father looks like a baked branzino as he was dying.
Because she's like not at all being that Italian ever. She's like not speaking with that accent. Which
no,
doesn't
well, she
care.
Really denounced it and kind of favored this like well, Hindu.
She, okay, wait. So this passage really is shit that I want to discuss, where she talks about being a mama wolf. It won't surprise you that when we order catering during Fashion Week to sustain us through the long nights we spend in the office seating shows and putting out fires, Robin, Emily, and I always eat before the mid-level team, which eats before the assistants who aren't allowed to touch the food until the rest of us have taken what we want. The senior team brings in the clients, after all, and the clients pay for the food. Like wolves, we share our kill with our children.
Oh my, I mean, that's very me at Springer, because I would deliver deep dish pizza at McDonald's to the guests and the producers.
Wait, sorry, would the producers eat first and then the mid-level associate producers?
No, it was more about me delivering food to all the like scary guests and I'd be delivering them like sacks of McDonald's, but then also the entire staff also ate the McDonald's. No one was like salad for me. It was like McDonald's deep dish pizza and yeah. I would deliver it, and then while running through the rooms, I would like take my deep dish slice and secretly eat it.
I'm really concerned about the BMI of the Springer staff.
Well, oh, I mean, it was a hot staff. I was like horny for all of them. They were like hot, cheesy
chicks.
One of
so, I mean, CNN was all full of the cheesiest chicas. TV is a lot of like straight girls with knockers and like.
Oh yeah, I mean,
brunettes.
I think
yeah.
because the guy who was the executive producer of Springer was like fully like the most disgusting Ron. Who's that famous porn star? Ron
Jeremy.
He looked like Ron Jeremy. anyway, I actually lost 10 pounds working at Spring because I was running so much,
yeah.
which is very your theory, calories in, calories out. Yes,
that's,
I was eating McDonald's, but I was running around.
Well, that's so true.
Thank you.
Calories in, calories out.
I mean, it's not so much
true.
A theory as it is just like how the body works, yeah. but like, yes.
I mean, it's true.
Well, yes.
Can we, let's like actually talk about PR girls for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no, let's cut this shit.
Let's fucking cut this shit as fucking Kelly Catron would do.
Yeah.
And I have insights into publicity because I play a publicist on well, Succession, one of the best
what
shows
are your
on
ins-
television.
What are your insights?
Okay, here's the thing. Our publicist, and maybe bleep out her name or whatever, because I feel like she doesn't want people to know that she's a publicist, but she's incredibly talented.
Fantastic.
She's really good. And
eventually, I do want to hire her as my publicist. I just have not yet.
And I'm waiting for her memoir. Which obviously will happen.
She's a maven.
Yeah, she's a maven. It'll happen.
And it'll be Kate on Earth.
But what she does, though, which is I think what Kelly does when she's actually being a publicist, is you are pitching press. You are calling up reporters that you have an existing relationship, mm-hmm. and you are saying, this person is interesting for XYZ reasons, and you need to write about them, and you need to do it fucking now because they're hot shit.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, that is a real job. That is a real skill set to have. It requires fucking balls of steel. It requires like shamelessness, and it requires a confidence. And you also kind of have to make a name around yourself, which she also does. So yes. People like actually take your word to be legitimate.
Well, that's a very like Kelly Catrone method of doing, because lots of PR girls who I have met are very like demure and kind of like subdued and a little like maybe in their professional lives they are more ballsy, but they're not doing the Caitlyn
and
thing
those are, you know what, and those are the girls who are emailing and not calling.
Mm-hmm.
And okay,
may I reveal that I am dating a publicist?
You're dating a publicist,
but it's very different. It's very different than Kelly Nurse. She's a publicist for books.
There is also another breed of girl who is on the city a lot and is in this city, New York, a lot. Mm-hmm. Who is not a publicist, who does not call reporters and pitch things, who is basically a glorified door girl, and these girls have some power vis-a-vis events, and they work in event planning, but they like do not have, you know, seven brain cells to rub together other than the ability to just like use power when they have it.
Yeah.
And like use it over people and hold an iPad at a door and like have a guest list or respond to guest lists or whatever. I think that that is a narrower slice. And like what Kelly Catrone is weird about is, but it's like, her business is both event production and PR. And that's, I feel like that's actually not really how it works usually.
Yeah.
I think it's a mix because.
But we know someone who does fashion production, who produces all of Ekkehouse Lada's shows. She's not also cold emailing the Vogue being like, oh. Like,
no, right. It's like separate.
And I briefly dated the guy who does Telfar's shows. He's not sending a bag of like
jeans to some random reporter
in Vancouver.
Okay, and again, very different world. So like my girlfriend does like publicity for like comics. So she does Comic-Con stuff.
Oh, wow.
And so she's doing the cult. She's on the phone with like Entertainment Tonight being like Marvel, blah, blah, blah. But then she's also like reigning in nerds at Comic-Con being like...
She's doing event work.
Yeah, she's doing event work being like, no, you actually have to wait here before you, like, attack the Steven Universe, like, whatever, head or something like that. So I think it depends.
PR is amazing.
PR
is incredible.
It's the last thing I want to talk about before we get into segments is her amazing gallery show she puts on.
In the early 90s, during the height of the culture wars.
What would that be like to be in a culture war?
I'm desperately always trying to, like, reignite the culture wars. I feel like you are, too. Like,
Well, we're in the culture
wars. We are, currently.
We're culture wars.
In the 90s, like, conservative Republicans were batting down the doors of, like, the art galleries and, like, the museums. And, like, there was such an insane war and, like, gay
people
with AIDS.
It's a different culture war,
you know what I mean?
Like, and Tipper Gore was like, I will not listen to this public enemy CD.
podcast.
Right. Yeah. Like, Joe Lieberman was just like, video games are destroying our community.
And now we just like, have Meghan McCain being like, my great, great father figure, Joe Lieberman, was an amazing friend of my late great father, Sean McCain.
And I also love my gay hairstylist.
Yes.
It's like the culture wars are much more narrow nowadays, and they're not on the grand scale. They're not as affecting as many people. Like, they seem like pitched, but it's only because like everything is pitched because we're on our fucking phones.
Okay, so Kelly Catrone, she's whipping up a meal for her Warhol husband.
Her first husband, Ronnie Catrone.
And she
was
just
a pop
has,
artist. I imagine his art being so annoying.
I'm sure it's definitely so annoying. Like pre-art bro and whatever that means. I'm sure he's like has a gallery in Hudson now. No offense to our producer who lives in Hudson.
Or any of our listeners who live in Hudson.
So
it's totally a real vibrant community.
Again, for the L Word fans out there, the gallery show sounded so provocation.
It was so provocation. So she did this show. Oh, she also was like, this is an example of her doing PR for herself, but it was like literally just for herself. She was
it was for her firm.
Completely.
She was just like, so I decided to do a gallery show at a gallery in Soho, New York City.
The biggest show of the year.
The biggest show of the year. It was the show to let, it was very also Sex and the City. They're like, there's this event we're all going to. She gets three couples to
LGBTQ,
interracial, different races, different genders, gets them to all
make out naked in this gallery.
With the American flag waving.
Ooh.
And she, like, you know, printed out the press release. It was 1992, so, like, back then you were faxing a press release to, like, Oprah and NY1 and whoever else. And she, like,
Vogue. Gets
her name in the New York Post the next day. She gets all this press. She, like, does get an NY1. 5,000 people come to the opening. They line up. They're streaming through Soho to get in to see this crazy show where naked people
and she makes
are gonna
be kissing.
Yeah, they're kissing.
Wait,
she makes
LGBT.
I think it's like a people? Black couple, a gay couple, and like
it's you know what it is. It's also very the Christina Aguilera beautiful video.
Yes,
which I was titillated
or
by.
The Madonna American Life video. I imagine it very
okay, but that was more like fuck Bush with like. Grenades and stuff.
Yes.
But they're naked.
They're naked, which is shocking.
And this was American flag. It was free. It was fucking the original.
You've got your browns, your whites, your blacks. Like, they're all kissing.
They're all kissing, and, like, everyone's shocked because there's nothing more shocking than an interracial kiss. I'm not even sure if the kisses were interracial. There just may have been a black couple.
Yeah. I could see.
Like,
no, she seems so interracial kiss.
Well, did you... Okay, the video I sent you last night where she's talking with the director of, like, Genetic Denim about who they're going to cast in the Genetic Denim show.
She goes, I always want to be a tribal girl or something insane
She was like, these two girls are sisters. They look really sisters. Like, they've got long hair. They're going to be wearing all black. It's tribal. And then Kelly Katrina's like, yeah, I always have wanted to do a tribal look my whole life.
And it's like, we know, babe. You're like
you're currently in a sarong and wearing henna. There's like 17 black and white photos of your...
Also, her use of the word yoga is... very loose.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
She's like,
at no point in the book does she mention doing yoga.
No, I know. Like, she doesn't actually do it.
She's just a yogi.
She's a yogic person.
And she's like, yeah, we were doing PR yoga. Yeah, me doing this event for the Red Hot Chili Peppers was basically like a yoga event. And you're like, do you actually know what yoga is?
Yoga is anything
for the fine young cannibals.
She mentions the fine young cannibals nonstop.
Okay, you guys are music hounds. I don't know what that is. So
you know,
Rock and roll, Red Hot Chili Peppers. I mean, I get the idea. But yeah, so she does this show at the height of the culture wars, and it gets. And I love saying the height of the culture wars. If you can't tell, and it gets. Her in the pages of the New York Post. One thing I thought was interesting about this, though, and kind of made me sad, was she had put on the show with her husband at the time, Ronnie. And she was like, it was this great, like, moment where the person who you're romantically partnered with is also your creative partner, and you have this, like, symbiosis. And this
and
gorgeous.
I was like, and I've never had that again.
Didn't that make you so sad?
I know. And she was like, that's what true love is. But then I do think, not to be so whatever her teachings, it was like, I feel like her alternative family lifestyle where she's like, yeah, some nights maybe I'm working and my intern is taking a shower and my ex-husband is playing checkers with my current lover and they're teaching my daughter how to play checkers or whatever.
She's like, there's a male model on the couch and like he was like playing fake swords with my daughter and her husband and like his dad.
Right. She's kind of being very lesbian about it, just being so like, all my exes are here and they're playing checkers.
But there's a sadness there. There's a sadness.
Yes, no, it is sad because she's like, no, it's cool. I like don't need to like...
She does a lot in the book do this thing where she's like, yeah, and maybe I don't need a partner. And yeah, maybe if I find someone who's like totally perfect and I'm falling deeply in love with him and that would be great. But like, I don't have that and that's fine. And that's okay for me because I'm a mama wolf and I'm like doing my thing.
No, I'm a she-wolf and it's totally fine. And if the perfect guy came along, he had a huge dick and he was my husband and he was really
supportive.
And he
didn't really mind
supportive.
That I have like my own career and I'm doing my own thing. Like,
why would I want to like go to a movie at night or if a guy came home was like, hey, do you want to go to dinner? Like, oh, yeah. Like, actually, I work till 2 a.m. and I sleep with my BlackBerry. So, like, I don't need some guy to be like, hey, let's go to dinner.
You have 2.5 children and blah, blah, blah. And when wash the sheets.
When I'm putting out fires before the Steve Madden show, I don't need a husband texting me, pick up the kids. But if a man were there and were supporting me, maybe that would be welcome.
And we do a gallery show? Like, mama wolf life, honestly.
I know.
I mean, question for you guys. One, do you feel like you have a tribal council? Two, do you identify as a mama wolf? Are you still more like warrior and not a mama wolf yet? If this is too personal, I'll leave the podcast.
I don't think I'm a mama wolf yet.
I hope I'm not a mama wolf yet. Last time I checked, I don't have any kids.
I have like a, yeah. I love my friends.
Right, which is like tribal council.
Which is like a tribal council.
I agree with tribal council. Do you feel like an obligation to like younger folk who like message you and ask for like advice or whatever?
The face you just made, our listeners
can't
see.
I'm guessing no when, from that face.
I'm very happy that I have an audience of young people because when I was young and like trying to find my way in the world, I distinctly remember having this feeling of like, wow, there's like no women that I like admire or look up to or like can kind of like aspire to be like. And so to have an audience that feels some kind of way.
So you
about
weren't like DMing
me.
Lucy Liu at age 22, being like, you're an artist, you're an actress, you're all of the above.
But you were reading this like book you? Many, many times. So yeah. Actually, I mean,
well,
not,
I thought, yeah, before.
Not to age you, you're not a mama wolf at all. Maybe I say you're a older sister wolf.
I'm an aspiring mama wolf.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah.
Older sister wolf. That sounds even older than mama wolf.
It's so like great aunt.
Yeah. Great aunt wolf.
I'm very happy to have had any kind of like influence in the lives of like young people, whatever.
That's so fab. Whatever.
Yeah, it's beautiful. But at the same time, sometimes the requests, you're like, okay, why don't you simmer down?
Well, I'm not directly responding to requests. Yeah. Like, I'm happy having an ambient.
No, I'm happy to have the support, but like every time a DM comes
quiet
through,
noise.
I'm not going to like let someone live in my apartment. Right. You know?
I mean, sometimes like I got a message the other day that was just like, I'm in Senegal and I'm persecuted for my sexuality. And I was like, that's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
But
like, that's crazy.
That's
for,
crazy.
Sorry, for my bisexuality? Oh, shout out to our Senegalese bis.
Segment Boots. What does she eat?
What does she wear?
How does she live? Okay, what does she eat?
What does she eat?
Erewhon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, she mentions having that spiritual moment outside of Erewhon.
Outside of a health food store in LA called Erewhon.
She's definitely eating health foods. She's taking a lot of supplements.
Tons of kale salads. I mean, she's obsessed with being an office chica, which means eating quickly,
bowls,
running around, sending an intern to get your coffee.
DoorDash. She's very pre-DoorDash. I feel like she's so bike messenger in this very 09 way.
But Lily, do you feel like she ever does kind of like a spaghetti, like Italian dinner?
I think when she's in Syracuse with family, she is like, I'm not going to hold back. Like, I'm not going to be rude. Like, I'm going to eat the chicken parm.
She never cooks.
What about for her daughter?
No. She's so Bethany. I think her and Bethany are both being like, what do you want, honey? Like, and they're on Gold Belly, like, getting, like,
it
the
is
Momofuku
Gold Belly.
Duck
I think,
pie.
I think she's
and then baking it at home.
Yeah.
Yes. I think she's stirred in Annie's once, maybe.
Yeah.
And it was the gluten-free Annie's. But I think when she's in Syracuse, she's like, because now she's like close to their parents, I feel like she's like, and when the pepperonis and the cannolis come, she'll do one day of like the big parm.
Yeah.
And the cannolis. But when she goes back to the city,
forget about it. It's sweet green all the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she's going to a dinner at Carbone.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah, I feel like also it could be she's ordering. She's
in
like,
in her 20s, she's not eating.
Yeah, no.
She's really coveting the 112 pounds. I'm an ingenue. I'm a girl.
She talks
town.
About how she was like so thin and small and chic and hot in her 20s. I'd love to see a
wait,
photo.
Hold on. Die. She says. She goes on her whole fucking rant about the Eaton Square Farmer's Market. Like she's the only person who's ever been there. She's like, grocery stores, be gone.
Anyway, I think she's fucking random and she's not eating, doesn't care about food,
vegetarian,
just never
and
cooking.
Yes,
and
never cooking. She's at Union Square Farmer's Market.
She eats to live. She doesn't live to eat.
Exactly.
She's buying apples. She's getting like a gluten-free apple crumb thing for Ava and giving it to her.
And everybody like, this is delicious. This is awful. Take it away from me.
Yes. Because she's like, oh, and they have those sick turkeys in cages. Oh, and we're supposed to fucking celebrate
Thanksgiving.
Wait,
wasn't there
Thanksgiving?
Was it this
she
book?
Doesn't do any vegan signaling. So that no, you know she's yes. eating like whatever.
Wait, yeah. Was it not, was it another book where she was like, go online and look up what they do to chickens or something? That wasn't this book? Okay, sorry. Listen, a lot of these ladies are
these
running
ladies,
together in my
yeah.
head. Okay.
But I think the interns, right, are whipping up the Annies for Ava and they're ordering. And then she brags about going to the farmer's market, but I'm sure it's, you know, once
she also like does something once and then says it's a lifestyle. Like she yeah. she will go and be like, everyone should go. It's amazing. There's vegetables everywhere.
She gave muffins to homeless people once. Exactly. Like her whole personality.
Right. And then she says like, and I'd often be found traipsing through Tompkins Square Park, handing out muffins to the homeless folk. Uh-huh. There they go. There she goes again, the muffin lady. Mm-hmm. It's like, bitch, that happened once.
I also am sure she's fucking going to that Whole Foods on Houston. I do not believe that, like, every single day she's at that Union Square Farmer's Market.
Certainly not. Listen, I was there the other day. I bought
she's
ramps.
So busy.
I didn't see her
yeah,
ass.
Busy. She's doing the buffet. She's going to, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. What does she wear? Obviously.
Black tees. All black.
All black.
Dasha's outfit.
Black only.
But she's also into, like, very forgiving things. Tunics. She's very into Indian and yoga garb. Sarongs. Big, like, ponchos and tunics. And, I mean, when she's pregnant, she has the whole section where she's like, my friend told me to go buy, like...
I couldn't wear
maternity clothes.
Oh, yeah, she buys, like, these awesome sauce tunics or whatever.
Yeah, from, like, an ashram.
She buys, like, yeah, like, ashram gear or whatever.
Yeah.
And I guess, and not to be looksist or whatever, uh-huh. but, yeah, totally. I do feel like on the show, like, she is mad greasy.
Well,
yeah.
Her thing is not wearing makeup because she's honest. And other
like
PR people.
And busy.
And busy. She's honest and busy, and she's honest about how busy she is.
But she could wear a little more makeup.
Not
but
even. She's like, I just
other
like
PR
wash
people are.
The hair. I don't know.
Okay, but her whole thing about
but
PR
she also
is
said,
that.
Like, the first question in the little, like, Q&A portion of the book is, like, do you brush your hair? And she's like, I brush it once, and then I get to work, and I, whatever. Like, I put it in a ponytail, or maybe I don't. And it's like, but always, 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 it looks so stringy and greasy.
It
yeah,
looks
and like,
super
I don't know.
Stringy.
We also must, I mean she is also a rocker.
I would,
but
like,
at some point in the book, she alludes to wearing wigs.
Yes, at the height of the culture wars.
And why not wigs?
She was wearing wigs all the time. And at that opening, she was wearing a wig.
Why not a wig then?
Because I think she found.
Then why every time we see her, she has to be so greasy?
Okay, because she had not yet decided that part of her brand was being honest. Because her whole thing about PR is she calls people on the phone and she's like, listen, I'm going to level you with you.
Oh,
this album's not good, but this rocker, someone you want to write about, he's going to be the next biggest thing. Like, she is the only honest PR woman in all of New York.
Right, all
and
of
so
New York City.
In order. Ooh. To make that brand consistent, she has to, on her reality show, not wear makeup and have greasy hair.
Well, she says, so there's a chapter about building your brand. And in it, she says, I describe my brand today as renegade, strategically kooky, ballsy, bohemian, intuitive, ruthless, and loving. Hmm. So those are the adjectives that she's using.
I mean, she's being really positive towards herself.
She's not using oily.
And I guess, and I should, you know, commend her.
Hagger.
Right,
I think, like, Amish. She says Amish witch at some point in the book.
Oh, she constantly says... Women, they're either witches or cunts. All throughout history, all they know how to do is say that we're witches or cunts. In any other country, if you are black, you're a witch or a cunt. Mm-hmm. Not New York City, baby. Like, it's always witches and cunts. Oh, and she, like, takes her daughter to Salem every year because she loves...
So epic.
She loves that they say that, yeah, witch actually means woman in total control of herself.
Ooh, yes.
She wants to impart that lesson onto her daughter.
I do, because Ava is what, in Kellner 7? So I want to know what Ava's up to, her daughter.
Ava has a aspiring modeling career from looking at her. Oh. I follow Kelly on Instagram.
Okay.
So it's kind of a Lisa Rinna's daughter vibe?
Now that Ava's, like, coming of age, she's really, like, angling for her to be a model.
Can I ask what the tit situation is?
Of Ava?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think normal, like, not...
Okay.
I don't know. No, she's not incredibly busty.
Well, that's good if she wants to be a model.
No, well, I was going to say, because I, mean, I was like, not... she's Italiana, so I actually was...
Thinking that she might actually
be
a little...
bustier.
racked and stacked.
She's 19. She did a photo shoot for Vogue recently. And
I
she
don't,
looks so beautiful.
I'm not seeing that.
I mean, it's just hard. It's talent's not transmittable.
No. Well, I mean, it's not like Kelly Cutrone was a model, so I don't know why the daughter
would
be.
No, but even with, like, Kate Moss's daughter, you know, it's like we're, like, all, like, entertaining it and being like, haha, yeah, like, open Miu Miu, and you're like...
And she like, has
well, but what, wait, what do we think of Kaia Gerber?
She's zero. I think Kaia Gerber is horrible. Charmless. None of the... I said this on Twitter the other day, and I'll repeat myself. Sure. None of the new girls have an ounce of compelling attitude at all. Mm-mm. They don't do anything. And when you look at the way that models used to pose and you look at these old pictures of Janice Dickinson, she was like having fun and being crazy and making different expressions and moving her body in different ways. And I'm sorry, Kaia, Bella, Gigi, Kendall, this girl, Lila Moss. No, like,
okay, sorry.
Still. They're all
Kelly Cutrone's
dead.
Daughter looks like a slightly hotter than this viral makeup artist that we love, Michaela.
The Boston base.
The Boston base, like Mua.
Yeah.
Like, she's just like a less crazy looking Michaela.
No, she looks like a Pittsburgh based Mua. I'm not saying it.
She's got interesting I just don't, enough features.
It's that thing where it's like, your mom's in fashion. I don't know. It's like, I want her to, I mean, she's 19. She needs to obviously go on her journey, but
of course.
I think these girls who stop being models, and you know that I'm very open about my issue with Ella Hemhoff. I'm just kind of just like, if your mom is famous, you should be like, think that that's not cool. Like, you should be like, yeah, it's fucking embarrassing that mom's, like, famous. Like, I'm actually interested in other stuff. You should not be, like, courting media attention. Like, that's horrifying.
No,
sorry.
No, that's not. She
that's
should,
not punk.
Yeah,
no,
she
it's
should
not.
Be, like, in, I mean.
Kelly Cutrone should know better.
At least.
Right, if she claims to be such
at least her daughter.
At least fucking Willow Smith.
And she says she's such a punk who wears all black and, like, dated that punk guy in Syracuse or whatever and, like, loves the Ramones and loves Fanny. What's they called? The Dead.
Dead Kennedys.
No. The Full Metal Jackets. What were you guys saying? That band?
Fine Young Cannibals.
Fine Young Cannibals.
Well, she was a publicist
for them.
Whatever. She thinks she's so cool to be punk, and yet she's letting her daughter, like, cash in on her,
she
like,
should know better.
B-list
Absolutely.
Celebrity, be
Absolutely.
A model.
But it's like, that's not punk.
No.
She should be, I don't know, more like her conservative Italian father who's just being like, you're moving to New York City, here's a $2,000 check, and you don't ever ask me for anything else, you know? And it's like,
yeah. No, because it's like,
I
lessons,
see this
lessons,
girl.
Hard lessons. Teach the daughter lessons.
Please.
Where are the lessons?
Please teach this girl a lesson. Okay. How does she live? I don't know. Fucking, again, messy
I mean, can
boots.
We, can we just say it? 1, 2, 3.
Buddha.
Like, she's so Buddha.
She's,
she's
so much more Buddha. It's like, we've said Buddha, 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 but it's like, every other page of this book is
well,
Buddha.
Okay, do you think she lives in LA or New York truly? I know she's bicoastal,
truly
but, like,
think she lives in New York.
I kind of feeling LA.
I think Dasha is right. I think that she's LA now. I think at a certain point.
I think she likes the, like, spaciousness and the Erewhon and the, like, she's. Because people in New York would call her on her bullshit too much, so she has to be in LA.
She was, like, working as PR for, like, Michael Jackson or something in the early 90s. She's only come down the ladder since the 90s. So at a certain point, you can't be still living in New York and have, like, used to represent Steve Madden 10 years ago. It's kind of just like, but in LA, no one's going to judge you for that, and it's fine. You don't feel the need to be, like, as with it and contemporary.
I mean, and so the hills is LA.
Right, I think you
the
guys...
The city's New York, but I feel like she just has more cachet. People's Revolution
it's the most
as
LA
a brand
name. Yes, it's so LA.
Has more, like, Los Angeles cachet.
Because LA is more Buddha.
You guys are fully right, and I'm going to rescind what I said, and I think what I'm
vocab
just,
to the boots.
I think it's like she's so LA, and it's like you guys are so right. And just every second she can in LA, she references like living on Avenue C.
Yes. Yes.
Speaking of vocab, Kelly Cutrone was the first person who, in my initial reading of her book, was the first person I ever heard use the word buku.
Wait, when?
What is buku? Oh,
in the 30s sorry. List, sorry. She says, when you're in your 30s, you're making buku money.
Boku.
Boku.
The French word. It means a lot in French.
Wait, says, but buku sounds like also something.
And I do like buku.
Like, it's buku money tonight.
I've been saying buku.
Have you been saying buku your whole
life? Are you
life?
At a restaurant?
My whole life.
You're like, yes, buku to money, y'all.
Oh, we're drinking Buku tonight.
You get that?
I learned that from Kelly Catrone, and I've been saying Buku.
The
Boku.
Check clears. You're like, oh, we.
I'm like
Buku.
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 I'm like, oh my god, I'm making Buku money.
Ooh.
Okay, but Boku, got it.
Real
okay.
Buku hours. Who up?
Boku. I guess.
Buku.
Buku.
Her vibe, I guess, okay, the other just only reason I will defend my answer why I say New York is
because you already rescinded.
I did rescind, but
bitch.
I'm also seeing her in Poughkeepsie and COVID vote mask.
Yeah.
Oh, she's definitely wearing a vote mask in Hudson. No question.
She had a vote mask and then she threw it and it's like a landfill. Yeah. And now we are like, we all have to just
no, she gave it to a homeless person in Tompkins yeah. Square Park. Totally. She handed out vote masks. There
she
there
bought
she
a
goes.
Bus. She went to RBG.com, ordered a pack of 12, and started just giving them out to homeless people.
Okay.
Okay, who are you in the book?
Wow.
Guest of honor, Dasha.
I mean, so you're studying to be Kelly Catrone?
Yeah,
but
you are Kelly Catrone.
No,
you're obviously not.
Because my character is not Kelly Catrone. She's not like a high power publicist. She's a
she's
very
a good
she's
assistant.
Like a middling assistant.
She's
I'm literally
an iPad
an assistant.
Girl.
Oh, okay.
But also, I think I'm the intern who wrote the blog post.
Oh my
like,
god!
Detailing.
That gets her fired.
Yeah. I'm the intern who wrote the blog post about how terrible it was to work for People's Revolution. That then Kelly Catrone called on the phone and said, "You signed an NDA. I'm gonna sue you to shit.
You violated the
yes,
NDA.
Bitch.
I'm the bitch who violated the NDA.
Yeah."
That's,
I see
love
that. For
that.
You.
Yeah.
No, I mean, because you're known for your mouth. That controversial bitch. She'll let anything fall out of those lips.
Exactly.
And your blog
yeah.
gets so famous.
It gets so many
yeah.
hits.
Yeah. I'm so blogger.
You,
I'm so like,
you wake
I'm
going to
spill the tea about my time with Kelly. Like, I'm.
Well, about your incredibly low level interactions with her.
Exactly. I'm like, I saw Kelly today. She fell down in her Prada boots. Like, I'm. Yeah, that's it, definitely.
Your friend is leaving Wasteland. Hey, Dasha, have you seen the blogs? Your blog. Blowing up. You're like, wait, I'm just waking up. Like, wait, what? Open that, like, huge, like,
then I get the call. Then I get the call. And Callie's like, I'm going to sue you and your whole family. And I'm like, oh my God, I better take it down real quick. Like,
I love when she says, I'm going to sue your whole family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's Italian.
No, that is how she, all of a sudden at the end of the book, it gets like full of mob vibes. She's like, that's Italian and that's Italian and that's Italian. And you're like, okay, Paisan. Steven, you...
Am I one of the interracial couples design... who's, like, making out in the gallery and the,
no,
the height
you're
of the
a gay
wars?
Intern.
Okay.
I think you're...
Just a general gay intern, yeah.
Steven, I think you're the gay...
Oh, wait, who becomes
makes,
her partner?
Who becomes her partner.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who then she sells the company to.
Yes.
Yes, Ken or whatever.
Yeah.
Mikal.
Like, Mick something. I'm so buying the company. I would. She would be like, I'm sorry, I'm super stressed. Will you buy this for me for $45,000?
And you're I'd like, be like, oh, let me look at my wallet. I actually have $45,000 spare in cash. I can actually do that today. Weird. Okay, but yeah.
I am that gay. And I also picture that gay, like, so this is partly because I'm watching Bethany's show, but there's a gay on Bethany's show who I unfortunately identify with who has like the most just like, you know, shaped eyebrows and like is wearing like so like wearing like makeup for men in that way that like make men
yes.
now do where they're wearing like just enough concealer that
no,
you
don't
notice.
No, it's like a spread on concealer. I mean.
And he writes Bethany this really obsequious letter because she fires him and then he's just like, I admire you and I love you so much and I think you're an incredible entrepreneur and I want the chance to work for you again, and she rehires him.
You are that, but you're also what you said. You, Kelly Catrone is working door, one of her girls are working door, and you are you who gets like into the exclusive random Mercer party
Catrone,
for Steve Madden.
Weinberg and Associates.
Weinberg.
I'd been craving a partner who could have lent professional support and kvetched with me over the insane people and situations that fill my day. Jason was Jewish, gay, charming, and dashing.
Well,
and what we lacked in knowledge, we more than made up for an attitude.
The way that that's the way that so many straight girls have described me as Jewish and dashing. Ironically, even though it was called...
Are you Jewish?
I was called anti-Semitic today by someone who was trying to cancel
ooh.
Me.
In
however,
the same post?
by this person.
The ageist?
I'll tell you the full story later. But most people think I'm Jewish, including most of my close friends.
I don't.
Oh.
But
I would say thank you, but that would sound anti-Semitic. Yeah, but I grew up in
that's
a Jewish...
In now, though, so.
I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood. I was very familiar with Jewish culture growing up. But I could... I would imagine that a Kelly Catrone-like person would just be like, oh, another gay Jew who I can...
Great. Get
you're right.
Get in there. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a little, like, leather-bound folio with
Well, here's the thing. You have a satchel and she, you know, she takes no shit and she talks crazy and that's the thing. It's like, and you don't mind talking crazy to her.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. You go in.
I can give it. I can dish it like I can take it.
Yeah.
Who am I in the book?
Who are you?
Okay, I'll say it. It's not in the book.
I mean, let's just say she doesn't, like, know. Oh, wait. She, like, doesn't know any lesbians.
But she references,
she references
like one.
That one lesbian couple who she thinks is her competition to get into a private
school. Yes, a private school. She's like, and that's your worst enemy, an interracial lesbian couple for a private school. Who I don't think I am. I think my former cleaning company that I used to work for, I think they're sending me to Kelly Catrone's People's Revolution loft office.
Yeah.
And she's saying, very nervous about price. Do details. Do this. I'm going once. And Kelly Catrone is complaining about me so much. And she's like, this person was disgusting. They missed the bathroom. They missed the corner.
And then she's still rehiring you.
Yes. And I'm going back. And I have to. And they're like, and I'm going back randomly for free to clean my mistakes.
Yeah.
And then maybe a third time, and then,
but then
she's done.
But then Kelly is taking you to, like, the muffin place or whatever.
Maybe she's gotten me
a muffin. She's giving you a muffin because she's like, my homeless maid.
Like, here you go.
Here's your muffin.
And this is your lesson, and you're going to conquer the world and become a she-wolf.
You didn't send the right kind of email, and you're not really cut out for this, but
I see something else in you.
Well, I think we nailed it.
Yeah. Y'all... I give this a freaking 10 out of 10. I'm obsessed with this book.
I mean, our guest has noted, it's the kind of book you can read three, maybe even four times.
Just revisit it over and over the course of your life and, like, pay attention to the advice that Kelly has to give you because it's taken me really far.
You're literally on Succession.
Ultimately, you're on Succession. Like, and I do think, you know, one of her main things is, like, go do that thing you think you might want to do. Like, I feel like she has some. I feel she has some cutoff. She's like, until you're like 35 or whatever.
Yeah.
Which that's true.
It's really a book for people like in their 20s, early 30s.
20s, early 30s.
Are lost. And that's when I read it. And look at me now.
That's very much the age of us and the age of our listeners. And I think that, like,
pick it up.
If you have any even scant idea in your head of, like, oh, I want to record a reggae album in Vancouver. I want to marry, like, a muscly Greek guy. I want to be in a throuple in Sao Paulo. Like, do those things now and figure out if you like them or not.
Because she says, the more you find out, actually, that thing doesn't work for you, then the closer you get to the thing that doesn't want it. It's like, great. So you actually don't like fixing muscle cars. Now you know. You're not going to wonder till you're 80.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Well, go to Sao Paulo. As Meghan McCain says, buy the ticket, take the ride.
Hell yeah.
Hell yes. Horns up, Meghan.
I would like to thank our guests so much for joining
us. Oh my God. Thank you so much for coming.
I'm so happy to be here. I love the pod. It's really the only pod I listen to.
Well, okay, huge.
Wow. Do you not even listen to your own?
No.
Yeah, same. I don't listen to my pod either.
My boyfriend's from Boston, so there's like something for everyone.
Oh, great. Oh, wait.
Get out of town. No, sir.
Does he listen?
Yeah. I listen to it with my boyfriend when we, like, drive places.
Hey, that's so hot when your boyfriend has a car.
Yeah, and drives.
And we just listen to it, and we laugh a lot, and we have a good time, yeah.
That's so cute.
Okay, that's the cutest thing I've ever heard. A couple where one person's from Boston, and they listen to a pod.
Wait, no, that actually, like, is the cutest.
Because I'm LGBT-friendly, he's from Boston, and, like, so
he's
like,
very
really...
LGBT-unfriendly.
Can I actually get your contact info? I would love to put you in a gallery show I'm thinking of. Yeah, listen to us or whatever. Leave a review at CBC The Pod.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Dasha.
Thank you so much, Dasha.
Listen to Red Scare.
Listen to Red
Watch
Scare.
Her
leave a review
Succession.
For Red Scare. Leave a review for Succession on iTunes. Get those HBO Max subscriptions fired up, bitches.
Hell yeah. We doing this.
Renew now. And we will see you next week.
Next week. And our next book
is
Ellen DeGeneres'
book on design.
It's
called
Design or something.
It's called Design or
we'll
something.
Fill you in later.
Yeah. But like you get the idea. Thank you so much. We love you.
We love you.
Best.
Celebrity Book Club is presented by Prologue Projects and HeadGum. The show is produced by Meg Murnane, my warrior and my sister, with editorial support from Leon Nafok, my ex-husband, Andrew Parsons, and Madeline Kaplan. Our production manager is Persia Verlin. Engineering by Ferris Manchi. I don't work with him anymore. Original theme song by Stephen Phillips Horse. He's such a fucking rock star. Artwork by Teddy Blanks at Chips NY. Follow us on Twitter at CBC The Pod. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Leave us a review and don't forget to tell your friends about us.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.